Well, thank you all for welcoming me, and I recognize so many of you, and I also know that there's visitors from Metal Valley, is that right? Yeah. Well, thank you all for being here. What an honor to be with you. So I wanted to talk today about ancestors. You know, I was thinking about this talk the other day, and I remembered my son. He was a little confused about what ancestors were when he was about 3 years old. He said, I don't want to talk about ancestors. I want to talk about and brothers. So I hope to talk about our ancestors and our and brothers today. But, you know, we have all these holidays. And as I was thinking about this, I realized that almost all our holidays in some way relate back to our ancestors. We have Memorial Day. We have President's Day. Even Christmas, Thanksgiving are really about our ancestors. So we've had all these stories told throughout time to us about our ancestors, about their accomplishments, their bravery, their sacrifice, what they did to make it possible for us to live in this world. But I also know that there's many, many, many untold stories about our ancestors. Many things that the quiet people in the background have done that never come down to us, but also form a foundation for our lives. Well, so who are these ancestors? Who are these people? I want to talk about two different kinds of ancestors. I want to talk about our physical ancestors, and I want to talk about what I call our continuation ancestors. So let's start with the physical ancestors first. Now, sort of common wisdom tells me that I can distinguish my ancestors from your ancestors, right? My ancestors are my parents and my grandparents, and your ancestors are your blood relatives. But, you know, if we start to look into that, it gets pretty fuzzy pretty fast if we look carefully. So if we start from our proto-mother, now, apparently, scientists have been able to trace back all of us to a single mother in Africa at some time in the past. That's amazing that we all have the same mother. Consider that for a minute. What is that? What does that mean to how we treat each other, that we all have the same mother? So when we think about it from that one mother, and you think about a pyramid coming out from her and going out all these generations to the 7.5 billion of us, you know, that I can kind of get my mind around. You know, it sort of looks like a genealogy chart. I think, okay, I can see how maybe we're all related in that way. But what happens if we invert the pyramid? What if we start with us and we start working backwards, right? So I know there's one of me. I have two parents. I have four grandparents. I have 8 great-grandparents. If we take that pyramid and we go out just 20 generations, which is about 500 or so years, now I've got over 1 million ancestors that are my blood ancestors. Pretty unlikely that you and I don't share some of those. That's a lot of people in that short period of time, 500 years. But if we take this and double that, we go back 40 generations, and that would be about 1,000 years, well, suddenly each of us would have 1.1 trillion ancestors. So there's never been that many people who lived on the earth. So you and I have done a lot of mixing in our past. We are sharing a lot of ancestors. So that's pretty hard for me to say, well, I have my ancestors and you have yours and we're separate. I don't think we're separate at all. I think we're closely intertwined. But you know, our bodies are more than our inherited bloodlines. This body is made up of non-body elements. It's made up of water, of minerals, of food, of sunshine. It's made up of things we don't think of as alive, and we certainly don't think of as me. So if we are all made up of non-body elements, and those elements have been circulating through the universe since they were created in supernovas, we are all intimately related. Even more strongly, you know, the elements in our body, from what I'm reading, None of them last more than 7 years. They cycle through us every 7 years at the longest. So how can we say that I am this separate thing that's not connected to you? Because the molecules that have made up my bones, the elements that made up my skin, made up your skin, made up your food, made up the water you drank. We're not separated at all as physical ancestors. So what about this idea of continuation ancestors? What does that mean? So continuation ancestors have to do with how we continue in the world. And we continue in the world much longer than our physical bodies continue in the world. So our thoughts and our speech and our actions, they continue after our physical body no longer is here. You know, when we celebrate those holidays honoring our ancestors, we're honoring their continuation. We're not honoring their physical body. We're honoring the continuation they gave to us. So here's an analogy that might be helpful. Imagine throwing a rock into a still pond. Bloop. Just like dropping the marble into the chalice at the beginning. The pebble will quickly sink to the bottom of the pond and have no more effect. But the ripples will go out from that pebble striking the water, and they'll flow out, and they may hit objects and reflect and come back and interact. They go to the shore, they come back. They're continuing for a long time, long after the stone has fallen down to the bottom and become inert. Our continuations are like that too. Everything that we do matters. Everything that we do ripples out into the world. I can see this in my own family. My great-grandparents were immigrants from Sweden, and they came and homesteaded a farm at the south end of Lake Sammamish. And I never met my great-grandmother. Her name was Martha Hoff, and she died in 1942 before I was born. But by all accounts, I know her intimately. The stories that are told about her is that she was a very, very kind person. And she had a great influence on my grandmother, who had a great influence on my mother, who had a great influence on me. And I can see Martha's continuation of kindness coming through my family. And it is me now. It is me. And I get to choose what to do with that. Do I pass that continuation along, or does it stop with me somehow? So we don't have to die before we continue, before we become a continuation ancestor. When we gather right here now, we are creating ripples when this community comes together, ripples for positive in the world. And this is going out. Even if we can't see where it goes, we can't tell how it's affected people, we can trust that this good action of us gathering is helping the world. And we didn't have to die to do that. We are the ancestors of these ripples. So the question for me here is not if we are continuing out in the world, but how we are continuing in the world. Are we continuing the beauty that we've inherited from our ancestors? Are we actually amplifying that and making that more apparent in the world? Or are we doing the opposite? Are we continuing the difficult things that we have inherited from our ancestors? Because our ancestors certainly were not perfect people. So which do we choose to continue? The beautiful and nourishing and healing elements, or the more difficult ones? So this brings me to what I'd like to really talk about today, which is forgiving our ancestors. You know, we're at a moment right now where we are retelling the stories of who our ancestors were and what they did. The social justice movement in this country and around the world is bringing to light different stories about our ancestors than the ones we told ourselves. And we're starting to look at some of those ancestors and wondering, were they really the good people that we thought they were? George Washington, the founder of the United States of America in large ways, well, he was also a slaveholder. We didn't tell that part of the story when I was a kid. Now we are telling that part. So what do we do with this information? How do we make this useful? How do we continue on the positive without being burdened by or controlled by the negative? This is what I think is really the heart of honoring our ancestors. Passing along what they've given us that's positive and finding a way not to pass along the negative to transform it. So this is the very definition of what forgiveness is. Oftentimes we think of forgiveness as looking at someone's behavior, their bad behavior, and saying, oh, that's okay, it really doesn't matter, I'm all right. No, that's not really forgiveness. That's a kind of codependence. True forgiveness is looking clearly at what we've been given from the past, looking clearly at what the actions of our ancestors are, and seeing how we can transform them now, in the present moment, in our lives. So how do we do that? It's not an easy thing to do. So I have some ideas, as you can imagine. I like my little three-point practice thing. So I'm going to share one of those with you. So the first thing that we can do is we can see clearly. We can see clearly what we have inherited from our ancestors. We're doing that now with our social justice work in the world. We are really endeavoring to see clearly. We're seeing the gifts and we're seeing the difficulties. You know, we really can't know exactly what happened in the past because the stories come to us all altered and not very reliable. But there is a way that we can know what's important. We can't know what that relative did that we never met. But like with my great-grandmother, I can feel her presence now in my body in the present moment. I can feel the effects of the kindness with which she lived. So to that end, I can see clearly into the past. I can know that she was kind because I feel the kindness now in me. This is a kind of mirroring to the past. We can see the effects in the present moment. And that's really all we can transform is what we feel and experience now in the present moment. You know, we can't go back to the past. I can't go back to a slave owner in 1820 and understand what happened or alter their behavior. But here in 2020, 200 years later, I can look clearly at the effect that racism has had on my society and on me as a person. And so I can know something about that. But I can't really know what happened in the past. And besides, I couldn't do anything about it if I did. So what's the point? So we have to see clearly what's happening. And that means seeing clearly now in our own experience. So the next step would be once we see clearly what's going on, we have to allow what is there to be there. And this is not easy either. You know, the reason we have not seen clearly what's happened from our ancestors in the past, again related to social justice and racism, is because as white folks, and most of us here are white folks, it's painful to see that. It really hurts. When I think about that, I feel shame arise. I feel anger arise. I want to change things. So this is painful, but it's an important part of the process. We have to be willing to allow the pain to be there. It takes a lot of courage. So I find that I can't do this by myself. I need others to help me. I need to come together like we are today in a place that says it's okay to feel this pain, to let it surface, to cope with it, to transform it. And I can't do that all by myself. So the things that help me is to get together with others and create a space in which we can actively do this work together. We can allow the pain. To sit in my meditation every day without fail. To bring this into prayer. To ask for support. To go out in nature, to walk. To get the support of the trees and the blue sky. So gathering others can help us hold the pain. So that's the second step. And finally, the last step. We have to respond with compassion. We see clearly what's happening. We allow the pain to be there. And then we respond with compassion. You know, we can know something about the effects of this passing on this pain to others because it's been passed to us. And when I feel that shame, that anger, that regret that comes down from the racism in my past, I know that it feels that way. And I can make a pledge to myself to respond with compassion and not to pass this along. To do what it takes to transform the actions of our ancestors in me so that I don't continue the ripples to the next generation. This is a kind of a fierce compassion. It's a kind of a fierce compassion that holds me accountable along with my ancestors. But you know, this is the way the world has always been. Suffering is universal. Every generation has created suffering and has inherited suffering from their ancestors. And every generation gets to choose what to do about it. We're not the first. You know, sometimes I think it's easy for us, again, I keep coming back to social justice, but this is not the only area in which we can apply this, but I'm coming back to that because it's so alive for us in our culture right now. When I think about those ancestors, I think, well, why didn't they see that this was wrong? What was wrong with them? How could they do this? But when I start to feel self-righteous like that, I know that suffering is universal, that creating suffering is universal. And I can imagine that future generations will look back on us and they'll say, those people burned up all the fossil fuels, they changed the environment, they were part of killing off huge numbers of species in the world. What were they thinking? How could they do this? And I have no answer for them, except we are ignorant and blind, just like our ancestors 200 years ago were ignorant and blind in what they did. So this helps me respond with compassion because I realize I am just like they were. I'm not better or worse. I just have a different set of circumstances that I'm playing out, and I'm making a different set of mistakes. And I hope that my descendants will forgive me by transforming what I've left for them in the same way that I can forgive my ancestors by transforming what they left for me. There's no room for judgment here, just compassion. So, summarizing, our ancestors are everyone and everything. We can leave nothing out when we consider what our ancestors are. This gives us a great sense of commonality and common purpose. We really are one family. Whether we're humans, animals, plants, minerals, we are all one family. Everything is our ancestors. And in our response, we have no choice. We have to honor all of them, forgive all of them, and care for all of them.